Welcome to Friendly Connection. I'm your host, Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room. How many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
I pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
The resurrection power is so important to our Christian faith. I'm reminded of a story that I once heard of a small child, a little girl who was after church, and she was standing in the foyer of their church, and she was looking at names on the wall. The pastor walked over and he says, "What are you looking at?" And she says, "I'm looking at all these names on the wall." And the pastor said, "Well, these are names of people who belong to this church who died in the service." And the little girl, kind of puzzled, looked at the pastor and said, "Did they die in the morning service or the evening service?" You know, sometimes we come to Easter, to Resurrection Sunday, with this idea of Jesus' death. And yes, I think it's important that we remember his death. But I think it's so much more important that we remember that he rose from death to die no more. And that he did that to buy us back from sin, from that debt of sin. We couldn't have crucified ourselves for ourselves, let alone anyone else. But Jesus could. Only his blood was pure enough, righteous enough to meet God's demands. So Jesus has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. And so leading up to Resurrection Sunday, I think it's important we remember the cross. I think it's important that we remember that Jesus did suffer and die. But we celebrate the fact that he rose from death to die no more. And that's what I want to talk about today. In fact, the resurrection of Jesus is really a fundamental cornerstone of our Christian faith. Because without resurrection power, we would have no hope. And I want you to understand today as we consider the resurrection that resurrection power, that God's resurrection power is transformative, not just for Christ, but for each and every one of us. Not just for our church, but for each and every one of us individually. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to look at the first 11 verses, because Paul says something here very interesting about the resurrection of Christ. Starting at verse 1, it reads like this. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, and then the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. So in considering the fact that resurrection power is transformative, the first thing I want to really draw attention to is this: resurrection power assures God is totally in control. Resurrection power assures that God is totally in control. Throughout what we've read here that Paul has written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, time and time again, Paul says, according to Scripture, according to Scripture. I want you to understand that Jesus' resurrection was foretold even before Jesus was born. In fact, arguably, many scholars believe the oldest manuscript in our Scripture is the book of Job. Why Job? Because Genesis was handed down in oral tradition for at least 1,000 years before it was penned, before it was written. So many scholars believe Job is actually the first of the books in the Old Testament to be written down. So in the oldest, potentially the oldest book in your Bible, we already see the fact that Jesus will rise from death to die no more, that he lives. Job says in Job 19, 25 through 27, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the least I will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me." Psalms, which was written approximately 1,000 years before Jesus would even be born, in Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11, it reads like this: "Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the paths of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." These are just two Old Testament scriptures pointing to Jesus' resurrection. There are countless others. We wouldn't have time this morning if we looked at all of them. But I would encourage you, this week in your devotion time, get in the scriptures and find out all those places that talk about Jesus' resurrection. Not just his resurrection, but also his death. It's foretold in scripture. Psalms 22:16 says, "For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet." How about Psalms 22:18, also talking of Jesus' death? "They divide my garments upon them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Also, Isaiah the prophet, some 700 years before Jesus is to be born, talks about the many things that Jesus will encounter throughout his life and prophesy his death. This assures me that we can trust God totally to bring everything together the way he desires it to be, that God is entirely in control, because no one could prophesy with such biblical accuracy except God. Thousands and hundreds of years before the Messiah would even be born, how the Messiah would live, how the Messiah would die, that the Messiah would be risen, that he would rise from death, to die no more. Redemption for our sins, doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. If you have trouble trusting God, just think about that fact alone. That he worked out every detail, not just for his Messiah to be born, not just for his son to be born of a virgin, but to live, to have a ministry, to die, and to raise to life. now seated at the right hand of the Father. Think about that. Only God could work things out with that sort of accuracy. That tells me that God is totally in control. Don't sweat the small things that happen in this life. God is in control. Understand, God's in control in our church. He's in control in the things that are going on in our world. His hand is in every detail. There are things that might look bleak right now, but if we could see what he's doing, where he's going, how he's working details out, we would just stand back and be amazed and say, thank you, God. I'm sorry that so much bad has happened, but look what you've done through that. Look what you're bringing us through. And likewise, the things that happen in your life, I promise you, you can totally trust God because you are important to him. He moved heaven and earth to buy you back from the curse of sin so that he could have you his possession, his loved one, his cherished child. Think about that. I don't care what people have said about you, how they've beat you up. You are precious to God. Rejoice in that. And because you're precious to God, he has used Jesus Christ to buy us back so that we can be in relationship with him. So resurrection power is transformative. It assures me that God is totally in control in every area of life. The second and last point that I'm going to make today is this. Resurrection power assures that God is totally trustworthy. He's totally in control, but God is also totally trustworthy. Paul also writes in the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, he talks about because of resurrection power, because of our belief in resurrection power, we are saved. The Greek word that is used there is sozo. Sozo in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 means born again, but it carries with it so much more meaning than just merely being born again. The word sozo can actually mean healed. Understand that when you are in Christ Jesus, not only do you receive spiritual healing, I truly believe that all healing is available to you. You can be healed from physical ailments, mental things that have you bound, things that have you in your mind, you can be totally healed. In fact, Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. It can also mean prosperous. Romans 8:32 says, for he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You are prosperous in Christ Jesus when you've been bought by the blood of Christ. Doesn't mean that you have the best car or the best house, or that's not what it's talking about. But in all ways, you will be prosperous. Prosperous means so much more than great wealth. We in the West have this real superficial idea of prosperity, and that's not what God is talking about. If God calls you to do something, he's going to make sure that you have every need met to do that thing which he's calling you to do. And that you are prosperous. The fact that he saved you from sin, you are prosperous, delivered. Sozo also carries the idea of deliverance. You've been delivered. 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Friend, if you're in Christ Jesus, if you've been bought by the blood of God because of resurrection power, greater is Jesus in you than he who is in this world. world. That's the truth about you. Because of salvation, what Christ has made available to you through his resurrection power. You're preserved. You're protected. You're preserved. Psalms 41:2 says, "The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies." You are preserved. That's truth about you. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you've been saved, if you've been blood, if you're a blood-bought child of God, sozo carries the idea of being preserved. Sozo also carries the idea of being made whole. Because of resurrection power, you have been made whole and are being made whole, more like the image of Christ day in and day out that you live for him. Sozo also carries the idea of being blessed. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord, who trusts is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by waters and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." You are blessed when you know Christ and the free pardon of sin. That's truth about who you are in Christ Jesus. You are blessed. Sozo also carries the idea of protection. You are protected. Psalms 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." You are protected. God's protective care is all around you. You dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. That's truth about you if you are in Christ Jesus, because sozo carries the idea of being protected. So because of resurrection power, because we have hope of life beyond this existence that we call life, because in the presence of God it was true life, life and like we could ever think or dream possible. But because of that, because of his saving power, our utmost in this life is to mirror Christ, to magnify God so that people can see how big our God truly is. But to be the image of Christ, in fact, Christian means just that, little Christ. We are to take on the identity of Christ in every way. Even when we fall short, what we do is we ask Jesus to forgive us. He picks us up, he dusts us off, and he keeps us going on for his glory, for the kingdom of God. Again, we have to repent. We have to ask him to forgive us, but he's faithful and just when we do. And you know, the Christian walk is just that. Sometimes we miss the mark. Sometimes we mess up. But he's faithful and just because of resurrection power. Because of resurrection power, we can totally trust God with everything that sozo means. Being born again, being healed, being protected, being kept, being whole. Everything that that word signifies, we can trust God that he will bring that to fruition in our life if we live daily for him, if we trust him, if we take time to get in this word and read and find out what he thinks about us, what he wants from us, what he desires from us, if we take time daily to pray and talk to God, if we take time to just be silent and listen for him to speak to us. It's about a relationship. But understand that relationship is not possible without the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. If you've never trusted God today, if you've never trusted Christ, his resurrection power, his atoning work for you, I encourage you, make this day that glad day of salvation. Start walking in Christ and just see how holistic sozo, his salvation, truly is.
I hope you'll join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.